Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 26, Episode 4 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah. For April 12th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jim Jacksaw Duggan.
Ooh.
That is a WrestleMania, a.k.a. courtesy of Gray Black, at Black of All Grays, and I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Can't keep running a gray... Can't keep running a gray. That is a Far Side reference. Thank you so much to Kellen T, who's been hitting me with some really just great musical AKs. And you know, I mean, if I have a chance to do a Jay Dilla produced track, I will do it. So thank you so much.
Was that produced by Jay Dilla?
That is Jay Dilla produced.
How about that?
Far Side.
I did not know that.
Banger. But certified.
Yeah, the AKs have been coming in fast and thick since we shouted out Chapman Rice. People started getting like competitive. They were like, oh shit, I didn't know.
I mean, Chapman still got the throne, but
right.
You know what?
Oh, for sure.
We're seeing other people, they definitely want to play the Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? But also, if you like that song, check out the Stan Getz song. It's sampled from Saudade Vem Correndo.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian John Ozalay, aka the original Jay-Z.
Don't anyone fact check that.
Okay, yeah, we won't. No. I'm going to believe it.
But he did get that shit from you. I mean, let's face it.
Of course. Back when he was in the Marcy Projects, I remember that.
Jonna, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
One of my recent search history things is Desert Storm trading cards.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm.
Because
you got a Schwarzkopf?
Oh yeah,
you got a Schwarzkopf rookie card.
The whole collection.
Wow.
You do? Wait, you really do?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I found it at a thrift store in Bloomington, Indiana, when I was traveling, and it was such a great find. It was only like $6 or something like that. But yeah, there was like a whole, because it wasn't just people. Like there was like the generals and like Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney at the time.
Oh wow.
Look at all creepy.
Was Colin Powell a card?
Yeah, he was up. No, he was one of the big ones. The Commander in Chief George H.W. Bush,
Herbert Walker.
But then they had a ton of random equipment cards, So there was one for like night vision goggles. Well, those are a baseball card for this war. This is something that
we've been actually trying to figure out here in the Daily Zeitgeist Studios. Do night vision goggles actually make that high pitched scream screech when you turn them on like they do in the movies in the early 90s?
I bet it's for effect.
Right.
Right. I bet it is too. But
like when a flash would charge on a disposable camera, they're like, whee!
Yeah, or exactly. Any kind of space sound that they have, like in Star Wars or anything like that. Because, like, obviously, there's no sound in space.
But who knows? I mean, and the reason we thought about that is because they're going to. You remember the night vision goggles from Jurassic Park?
Oh, it was like,
cool, night vision. And the lawyer's like, are they heavy? Yeah, then put them down. They're expensive.
Right.
Or then they're expensive, put them back. So,
good character.
That's coming back. And that's when we thought, do they really make the sound? We don't know. Hey, anybody who's an active service military or you have experience with those headsets, let me know. Do they make the sound? Do they not?
Yeah.
Are we crazy?
Let us know.
Wait, hold on. I got it.
The best card, though.
Yeah, what's the best
card?
Stealth
bomber, right?
Ooh. Oh, that's certainly a good get, as they say. Probably among the most. You'd have to look at the Beckett on the trading cards.
Hell yeah.
I think Beckett had to go online because nobody even bought. I mean, let's be real. Anytime I used it. For people who don't know, Beckett was like the stock market index for trading cards
market price.
In the 90s. Yeah, so you knew what a card was worth. And if you ever were into card collecting, you would go to the card store and you would just look at the Beckett in the store and then leave.
Yeah, right.
Like, there was no need to buy it or take it.
I still have most of my portfolio tied up in baseball cards.
Oh, I'm 100% locked in and I have nothing now.
Right.
I thought these Allen Iverson rookie cards would be worth something.
Turns out, because everybody had that Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, it's not worth as much as we thought.
Except
it was
for the I think the signed Shohei Ohtani card is worth like $7,000 right now or something.
Right.
Like that.
Right now.
Right
and
now.
Then when people realize, everyone out and bought that. Everybody had the same idea.
Were there alt decks for like the nasty people, like the Saddams?
Oh,
of the
you
world?
Know what? I don't think so. Mm. It was just the good.
No
guy,
Baghdad
the quote
Bob.
Unquote, good guys.
Right. Oh, okay.
Or you know what? I think there was one for Saddam, I believe.
Okay. Well, it should be. Because I remember in Iraqi Freedom, they had the trading card deck. Remember?
Oh, did they?
Yeah. So like everybody could identify like the most wanted people.
Interesting.
Like, remember? Don't you remember that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The trading card deck for all the...
But that was for soldiers, right?
Or was that
something you could
get
back?
It was, but then you could buy it. Right.
Oh, you mean like the playing card deck, not the trading card
deck. Yeah, playing card for like soldiers so they knew like... How you know which
so,
person
like the
was a terrorist?
Osama was like the Ace of Spades or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just a hierarchy,
or the Joker, depending on how you look at him. You
know Am I right,
Joker.
Guys?
Yeah,
they really did a good job branding that war, though.
They really did. So that's a period of time. I don't know if that seems recent to people who aren't as old as me, but to me, like I still remember going to elementary school and there being. You know, stealth bomber fruit snacks and like fruit snacks that were the different weapons.
That's how fun
and,
war
like,
was.
Yeah, if you got the stealth bomber, like everybody would like you would trade your entire dessert to get the stealth bomber fruit snack.
Yo, wait, yeah, what was that? What brand of fruit snack was that?
I don't know.
But I remember
America?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking America.
The CIA brand. Because
I feel like they just tasted like shark. They took shark bites and then made them into war shapes, basically.
But yeah, so. Brief backstory on that war is that people thought George H.W. Bush was a wimp. That was like an actual media like
narrative.
They were just like, "Yeah, this guy seems like kind of a wuss." And so he like after you know going to that war was most people would say justified because they had invaded Kuwait, but. He then like had this huge military parade down the street, down the middle of the street, and like it was really some next level like World War II shit that happened not that long.
Because I remember even fucking Ninja Turtle figures were not safe from this propaganda, and there was a set of Ninja Turtles that was like, oh, Leonardo's an Air Force pilot, or like Raphael is like an infantryman, and I was like, this is weird because. They don't really fuck with guns, but also I was such a big Ninja Turtles fan. I was like, I need them.
Wait, that really happened? Just
yeah, look them up. Look,
shoot nunchucks at people.
No, like they full on had like
had actual weapons.
Like weapons. Like it was crazy.
That's very disturbing.
Yeah.
I also think that like it's interesting the way that it mirrors the time that the different merchandise and propaganda. Because like back in the early 90s, that's when baseball cards were huge.
Right.
So they had trading cards. And then in the early 2000s, that's when the poker craze was going on.
Right.
So, like, I wonder what the modern day North Korean war ramp up will be.
Right.
Fidget spinners.
Cryptocurrency.
Tide Pods.
Kim Jong Un.
Yeah.
Un coins.
We could talk about American wars forever, but Jono, what is something you think is underrated?
Underrated is YouTube tutorials. I had like one copy of my car key, and car keys for whatever reason are ridiculously expensive to replace, or like I just needed a backup essentially, and everywhere you would call, like a locksmith or whatever, is like, yeah, it's $150 or $200, whatever. Like, because it's not just the key, like a house key where you just cut it at Home Depot or whatever. You have to, you know, program it. Quote unquote. Like, they have to, like, do a certain thing because there's, like, a transponder chip in every car key now to prevent theft.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
Not in, like, my old 99 Prelude.
I mean, I think it was, like, around 2000 that they started doing this.
Yeah, because I saw you start mine with a Leatherman.
So like, but you, the internet now, like, because like you don't have to go, like you can find out I thought it was like some specialty computer that they were programming these chips, but like no, it's just like you do a certain combination of like sticking it in the ignition and opening doors a certain combination.
Oh, whoa.
So I just got a blank key, cut it at a Home Depot, and then programmed it myself based on YouTube videos. And like it was $20 instead of like $200.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah.
Also,
so like,
hey,
it's a scam. Don't fall for the key thing.
Look, for my young miscreants who are listening, hey, if you're trying to boost a car, I think John will just unlock the fucking matrix for you. Look up the YouTube.
I mean, you'd still have to steal someone's key and then copy it.
Yeah. Well, but... I'm saying, but it's your mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's your mom's car.
Oh,
key.
Yeah. Sure.
Who didn't drive illegally first in their parents' car? Come on, raise your hand. No.
I mean.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
I did not.
Oh, oh! I said who didn't. Yes. Never mind.
What's something you think is overrated?
I'll say baseball.
Mm.
I mean, not like baseball is great in a historical standpoint, but it has. I think it's reached a ceiling. I think it like peaked almost last year in a modern sense. Like the series was great. It went 7 games and all that stuff. It was a little bit exciting, but that's like as good as it can get without steroids,
right?
And it's still like, I'm still more excited this year about the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
Than anything in baseball.
But you know, people should know that you've played baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy
I grew
baseball.
Up with baseball.
You're not here hating on baseball.
No,
but you just
feel
like, is it going to get any better than what it just was?
You know what? I sort of think of it the same way as like The Simpsons or whatever, where it's like, in my youth, it was like, great. It's the greatest that's ever been. Like my favorite sport of all time, my favorite show of all time thing, but like, it's
so basically that Dodgers Astros World Series was when Principal Skinner became Armin Tamzarian.
Jump the shark. Yeah.
Well, seriously, because I don't understand how there were as many hits and home runs as there were last.
It was like vulgar.
It was crazy. Like it was almost like a different sport had started being played.
Yeah.
And it was right after the strike that the steroids era began to like revitalize it.
Yeah,
in the
that series was bonkers. I would love to hear conspiracy theories, but yeah, I've heard that the balls were too smooth, and that's why they like couldn't get any movement on the pitches or something.
Oh, you're talking about this last series last year?
Last year's series.
There are conspiracies about it?
That's what people were trying to describe, like why
Astros
every
truthers.
Game was like... Yeah.
Shit, I'll jump on there as a Dodgers fan. Like, yeah, I think we should look into that, man. I mean, feel like we were wrong.
Houston having to do with outer space wasn't going to be the first conspiracy theory.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
what about
it's all tied up with NASA?
But are you? What about Shohei Ohtani? Doesn't he excite you at all? Just because he's starting to look like a pretty freakish player,
you know? No,
or based off the first couple games,
you know. Like I have the thing is I don't care enough to watch.
Yeah, no, perfect. Like, so yeah, there it is.
Yeah, Schrodinger's pitcher.
Boom.
There you go. What is a myth? What's something that people think is true that you know to be false?
That like laws. Work like, essentially that like everyone you know the rule of law has become into question a lot in the last year because of
right.
our current administration and the laws they may or may not be following or have followed and like it really because a lot of people are talking about like oh impeachment is a political process not a law process because like you have
right.
to have the political will it's not like he you know a court is finding him guilty or innocent of certain crimes and misdemeanors, but like in a way, that's kind of the entire society. Like, there's all laws require the political will to enforce them,
mm-hmm.
and like it, you know, it's gone back like as far as Andrew Jackson, like, was the Supreme Court ruled that he couldn't remove the Cherokee Nation from Georgia. But then the Trail of Tears happened anyway. I think his quote was just like, John Marshall, the Chief Justice, has made his decision. Now let's see him enforce it.
Yeah, right.
And so he just did it anyway. And so, like, that is kind of the playbook that the Trump administration is going for. Is like, well, we're doing whatever. Try to stop us.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it also goes the other way, where it's like, marijuana still is technically prohibited by the federal government, but states have legalized it. And so it's just, there's no political will in California to go bust, like, you know, pot smokers.
Yeah.
And
because we're states making a lot of money off of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, if there's money involved, like John Boehner just became a spokesman for marijuana.
Right.
Meanwhile, they're still, you know, racially enforcing it to their ends in, you know, the South or wherever.
Yeah.
Jeff Sessions, his whole career is based off of imprisoning black people.
Yeah, for smoking jazz cigarettes.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an interesting philosophical point at this point in our country's history, because a lot of the questions that I have when it's like, well, he can't get away with that is like, okay, so you're going to stop him? And if he does do the thing that, like, we're scared of him doing in a lot of cases, it's like, oh, so you're just going to, like, have a civil war? Like, you don't want that. Nobody wants that.
Right,
go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that Hitler used that to his benefit a lot in the run-up to World War II.
Yeah, he's
was
like, just do something.
What, you want to do another world war? That was terrible.
Yeah,
just kept doing
it. I'm claiming
this.
Oh, see what I'm doing? I'm just claiming my Lebensraum. You know, that's what that is, our living space. That's what we're doing.
All right, let's get into the stories since we're already kind of talking about them. So yesterday we mentioned that it looked like there was a bill that was making its way through Congress that was going to protect Mueller from being fired. Now that's not seeming as certain, right, Miles?
Well, yes, there's a bill. So, I mean, the news was that for the first time, there was like a bipartisan bill that they were saying, hey, here's something to protect Mueller. That's great. That was in the Judiciary Committee. So what's going to have to do, it'll have to get out of committee, which it probably will. They're going to, I think, vote on it next Thursday or Thursday after next. And then obviously then Mitch McConnell, he would have to bring it to the Senate floor for a vote. So this is where it gets tricky, right? So McConnell has said that on as early as I think Tuesday that he's like, I see no need for this kind of bill.
That's pretty good, McConnell.
thank you very much. You just have to, anyway. So then he felt like, whatever, we don't need it yet. Maybe.
Right.
So that makes you unsure of, even if it gets out of committee, will it even get to the Senate? And then from there, will it get 60 votes? Will it get a veto-proof 2/3?
Right.
You know, like, so there are many hoops.
That's what it needs for Trump not to veto.
Yeah, to be veto-proof. And then it would have to get, I mean, then in the House, like, what are they going to do? That thing is a headless fucking chicken right now. And you actually have members in that body who are actively, like, burn the DOJ down.
Right.
So that's going to be a weird sell in that House. But again, I mean, yes, it's great that there is a bill being introduced. How effective it could be is another thing that can be debated. But then I think from the other standpoint is, you know, what's the likelihood of this actually, you know, fully becoming ratified?
So the thing that they're introducing would make it so that if Trump fired Mueller, it would be subject to judicial
review. Yeah, like, exactly. And he could have basically people show, like, the evidence or the basis to justify the firing.
Right.
So it can't just be sort of like, oh, well, I felt like it, like right now, which could happen.
Mm-hmm.
If just
right.
sort of like, well, I feel like it, so no.
Right. So Bannon has come out with his own suggestions of how the president should handle this situation. It's actually exactly the story that made me think of, you know, well, so if he did that, wouldn't we just be in, like, a
total
civil
lawlessness?
War? Yeah, like,
a constitutional,
what the fuck would
crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's Bannon's plan?
So Steve Bannon, okay, we all know that Steve Bannon, he was a former, you know, advisor to the president, a Breitbart fucking mastermind.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Genius.
Honestly, his genius. Most genius Birther. Move is getting residual money from Seinfeld. I think that is the smartest thing he ever did.
Right.
But anyway, that's a whole other story. So yeah, he apparently has been floating this idea, like he's trying to tell people in the West Wing, like, yo, I got this plan to fucking cripple the Mueller investigation. Listen, okay, listen, bro. It's crazy. Step one, fire Rod Rosenstein. Rosenstein, okay? Step two, tell Mueller to fuck right off and don't even cooperate with him. Why? enter step three. You will claim retroactive executive privilege to basically nullify everything Mueller has done so it can't be used as evidence or anything because, nah, we don't like it. Basically, what he's saying is, like, the Mueller investigation should have never happened anyway. Therefore, using executive privilege retroactively, any interviews he's had, any evidence that he's collected is just null and void. And, you know, hey, baby, we're all good now.
Right.
So it's not really a good plan, but basically time travel, I think, is his plan.
I think Mueller would probably counter that with the constitutional power of no take-backs.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No takesies, backsies.
Right.
Yeah, and like how they've already like indicted people based on testimony. They're just like, oh, sorry, we ignore all the things you definitely have heard and seen of evidence of crimes.
It's one of those things that's very complex, but I guess the way Steve Bannon thinks, you know, because he's a legal genius, that this is like a good thing.
You know, it's like the fact that he's trying to stonewall them, and like I'm surprised kind of that wasn't the strategy the whole time to just stonewall investigators. But it's also like tacitly admitting that like, oh yeah, crimes were committed there, and they've got us. Like if they were innocent, like the whole cooperation, like let's show everyone what we did and how it wasn't illegal, is a decent like PR legal strategy. But now that they're getting caught, they're like, nope, never mind. We never, you know, we never cooperated and you can't use this against us.
We have nothing to hide. And the way we define nothing is everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did cooperate because his lawyers told him to cooperate from the start. I think under the assumption that they didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
But I don't think Trump necessarily would know if he had broken a law and
or care.
Right. Yeah, and then, I mean, that was one of the things that I took away from the Slow Burn podcast about the Nixon Watergate situation was that, like, he bluffed people saying he had nothing to do with it and that he was going to, you know, cooperate up until then he, like, fired a bunch of people. But in the end, he, like, just turned over all these tapes that were, like, recordings of him being like, so we're going to break the law.
Yeah,
and
right.
It was just like, at a certain point, he was just like, yeah, here. Like, you know, there was, like, nothing left for him to do. And so he just, I don't know, there was, like, this weird cognitive dissonance, like, mental break where he was both, like, he chose to exist in a world where he hadn't done anything wrong, and so he gave them the evidence that proved he had. So, I don't know, maybe that's what's going on.
But at least Trump, he has the instincts to know when he's done something wrong and knows how to deal with it, which is just, you know, threaten people and scream about it and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, I think his legal strategy throughout his life is do whatever the fuck you want, and then when people start being like, you can't do that, then just get some lawyers to do what they do.
Have Michael Cohen pay him off.
Right. And then without knowing that Michael Cohen, like, I think one legal, like a publication called The Worst Law School in America or some shit that he went to.
Oh, did he really?
He went to like Hollywood Upstairs Law School?
Yeah. He literally, I think, studied under Bob Blah Blah. So I don't know what the deal is. Yeah.
Yeah. I just read a quote from him that was like, talking to a journalist, I think it's Slate or Vox, who was going to write something critical of Trump during the election, and he was like, what I do to you is going to be fucking disgusting.
Yeah, right.
It was like so, it was really weird.
You know, law talk.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a legal jargon.
It's a great legal mind right there. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And so one of the very first really strong stances that the president took during his campaign and that he actually followed through on once he was in the White House was TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, I think.
Mm-hmm. Not him toilet papering a house.
Right, exactly. He said it was a bad deal, it was crazy, America was getting ripped off, and pulled America out of it immediately. And this is actually, that wasn't super controversial. Hillary said she was not going to ratify it if she got elected. But this was something that he was dead set on. And now that he has taken the very early steps of starting a trade war with China, he's starting to go back on that firm stance.
And, come around.
Yeah, he had a meeting with some of his staff, and he was just like, get us back in TPP.
Is TPP like every Asian country other than China?
No, it does not include China. It includes like Vietnam, Australia.
Japan, right?
The countries that are in the agreement is Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, Vietnam, and the U.S.
Yeah. So that's most of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think maybe that Trump is realizing is if we're not in there, then that gives China the incentive to bully these other countries or be right. more of a powerhouse in this sector yeah. of global trade.
So it's like the economic NATO to combat China, like the way that the European NATO is combating Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need that to make... Yeah.
So he started a fight with a big bully. He's like, everyone gather around me. Help me out.
Right.
Someone hold me back. Hold me back.
But yeah, exactly. So they, you know, that's in place to keep China's influence at bay. But, you know, when Trump doesn't deal with facts or figures, it's right. hard to have a coherent policy.
So, you mean like his statement that TPP was bad? It was not specific enough?
Very bad.
Right. Yeah. Bad deal. I would do a better deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this entire section, a running theme is going to be Trump's inability to properly estimate the intelligence of just everyone else besides right. him. Because, you know, due to his level of intelligence, he only has a certain level that he can get to, and he assumes that's the level everyone else is at. And then, lo and behold, it ends up being more complex, and right. people have reasons for doing the things they do or not doing the things, like starting right. a trade war with China.
I guess all you have to do is do the Obama test.
Right.
It was his idea.
Right.
Then bad.
Yeah.
Then go away forever.
Yeah. So what is one of the consequences of him trying to, you know, start this trade war with
Well,
Trump?
I mean, look, to start off, we should say that, you know, Trump was like, we're going to tariff the shit out of the Chinese or whatever. And the Chinese in turn were announcing tariffs. President Xi has like sort of opened up a little bit. He's not as hardline, but also he's very clever and he's not trying to just push his chest out and be like, yeah, let's throw the whole fucking global economy into crisis. Mm-hmm. They're down for a long game if they have to.
Right.
But before those developments this week, he was talking spicy and he keeps talking about the export-import disparity between the two countries because on its surface, the Chinese probably have more to lose because they sold us $506 billion in stuff. And, you know, we only sold $130 billion to the Chinese. But this trade war isn't really about that. It's about politics, really. And that's where Trump is at a disadvantage because he has things like midterms and like elections. Right. Whereas Xi just made himself forever king of China. Right. And he doesn't have those sort of the same forces at work that would inform his decision making. Also, because of the way the country's run, he can whip any industry into shape immediately. He can just say everybody's doing this or everybody's going to do this and they will fall in line immediately.
Right.
He also is sitting on $3 trillion of surplus cash. So even if these tariffs started to affect consumers or manufacturers, he can be like, here, take this, ease that, keep the prices low, Poppy, we got this.
Right.
He can play the long game. We cannot.
He could do a great leap forward and still like be in power in a couple of years, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's, yeah.
So we, you know, initially we're announcing $50 billion worth of tariffs on China. Xi clapped back immediately. But, you know, that's not all China has in their like sort of bag of tricks. They can stop cooperating on the North Korea stuff. They could, you know, sell some of our debt off.
Right.
You know, because they're one of the largest owners. I think the largest owner of our debt.
Probably.
So they have many ways to fuck back with us. But, you know, again, they're a little bit more clever and they're not just about like sort of these like this verbose grandstanding that Trump is about. And the other thing is that China also understands what they're doing by studying our electoral maps and saying, you know, let's turn the heat up on districts that are Trump friendly or have very powerful Republican congressmen or senators in there. So then they can also put pressure on the president because that will hurt them as well. So, you know, it's a little tricky.
There's like the Kentucky whiskey or whatever.
Bourbon.
Where McConnell is from. That'll do it.
Yeah. And I think is it Harley Davidson is in Wisconsin?
Yeah, which
Paul Ryan took less saw that coming. Yeah, like, right. I'm not even running anymore.
Right.
Like, you know what?
Between that,
I'm
and everything.
Fucking out of here.
Yeah.
But yeah, just remember, like this is no doubt a very complicated situation, but it's one that the president got himself into while saying a trade war is going to be very easy to win.
Yeah,
trade wars are very easy. So like, this is the kind of continuing problem is that he just cannot conceive
it
of
seems
the complexity
like, yeah.
of
he's
very
throwing a rock
situations.
And China has snipers.
Yeah, right. And this new confident Trump is, I'm going to do something with my chest out, then the world is going to respond or reality responds, and then I'm immediately have to fall back.
Right.
Like just like today when like, everyone was like, what about you telling Russia to prepare for a missile attack? He's like, I didn't say when. It could be very soon. It could be not very soon. And you're like, okay, asshole. Like, what the fuck it. Everything is like, yeah, a trade war is easy to win. And then, like, there's some blowback. Okay, can we get back in TPP?
Like, I've heard Trump supporters saying, see, he's unpredictable, which, like,
which is
that's
good.
One way to look at it. And it can be good in, like, very certain situations, but not just constant, absolute chaos.
That's the way, that's the exact strategy that Nixon used to win Vietnam.
Right.
It's the madman theory. It's like, oh, we don't know. Is he going to use all these things?
I heard it compared to the madman theory. And even there, they were like, the madman theory was like a single isolated situation where he like started acting erratically and everyone was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, this is crazy. Whereas the baseline right now with America and America's policy is just complete and utter chaos.
Right.
I think in a weird way, though, like it's the opposite of madman theory, where it's like Trump is so predictable based on everything that they've seen on his tweets. Like he's basically giving a like psychological evaluation of himself based on his moods, and like they know exactly how he's going to react based on what is on Fox and Friends that morning.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's like, oh, they just saw a caravan of Hondurans walking through and they said that's bad. Guess what he's against now?
Right.
Right.
I wonder, you know, like we were talking, we didn't bring it up on the show, but Jack, you were talking about how like Facebook was able to like use posting and likes to figure out if someone was going to have like some kind of psychological episode.
Right.
Like I feel like Trump is as transparent that you could probably put his tweets through some sort of algorithmic, you know, analysis or whatever and be like, oh, you can actually completely fill out the profile because he is so transparent despite this unpredictability, quote unquote. He's just impulsive.
Right.
And then eventually has to like deal with a bunch of like rational human beings being like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Well, now that he's purging them, those would be like, yeah, dude, that was sick.
Do right. more of that. I mean, that is the thing is that I think, you know, 60% of the country is like, okay, this is predictably irrational. And then a big portion of the country is like, see, he's the man.
Yeah.
He's 40 just keeping us on our toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a fucking plastic bag in the wind, man. Yeah. I don't know where to get him.
Here's what I understood. Like, all of Trump's goods are made in China.
Right.
Like, why doesn't China just say, like, all right, well, like, we just don't make your goods anymore. Try making them.
Well, that's the thing. That's why Trump, even these tariffs were half-assed, because if he was really wanted to do it with his chest out, he could have put tariffs on shit like shoes and clothing and trinkets, which are, like, most of the majority of the products we have in our fucking stores.
Right.
Oh, but, you know, don't worry. That would fuck up Ivanka's business.
Right.
So we can't do that on the shoes, right, baby, right, you know, right. Because we can't fuck up the family business, but we don't sell aluminum, so.
Exactly. I bet, like, yeah, for sure if they went after specifically Ivanka's goods or whatever, they would just win right there.
Yeah, those kinds of goods. Yeah. He'd be like, you know what? Actually, we're going to tax that shit from the China side. Like, yeah, how you going to do this?
So a slightly lower stakes but a more cartoonish example of Trump underestimating the intelligence of literally everyone around him, and in this case being correct. So there's this New York Post story that maybe moved like some of the most copies that any New York Post headline has ever moved, where Marla Maples, President Trump's former wife, one of his former wife's
mother Tiffany. Of Tiffany.
Yeah,
mother
Tiffany's Tiffany. Mother.
The fun one.
Came out and said, Trump is the best sex I've ever had. And that was blasted across the front page of the wildly conservative New York Post.
With the smug-ass Donald Trump. The cover is so funny because he's just like, yeah, in big New York Post style, best sex ever had. And he's just grinning Trump next to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Not even Marla Maples.
Right. So apparently, the editor from that time has come out and said, you know, we actually mostly thought that that was just Trump impersonating Marla Maples, impersonating his wife,
right.
Which is a thing that he's been known to do. And actually, I think we have audio of him on a phone conversation with a different reporter where he is playing the role of his spokesman.
John Miller, I think.
John Miller.
Or whatever it was.
Who is a recurring Trump spokesman who nobody can find any record of existing. But he would call up reporters and be like, yeah, I'm John Miller. I want to talk to you on behalf of Donald Trump.
The best is that he doesn't even try and do a voice.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's trying to do
or in his head. But like, if you were anyone who knew Donald Trump, you'd be like, yeah, okay, John Miller, how can I help you?
So let's hear some clips of John Miller talking to a reporter.
You know, he gets called by everybody. He gets called by everybody in the book, except the women. And he gets called by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
Carla Peretti, how important is she right now? Is she not?
Well, I think it's somebody that, you know, she's beautiful. I saw her once quickly, and she's beautiful and all. But I think that he's got an all open field, really. And actresses, people that you write about, just call to see if they can go out with them and things. So.
I think that, he...
Right. He has a girlfriend. She lives in Canada, but she calls all the time.
You wouldn't meet her because she lives out there.
She's beautiful. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's a model.
Yeah. Oh, man. That time-honored classic lie from junior high, the girlfriend in the other state.
Right. Oh, yeah. So why did he get away with this just doing voices, and the New York Post took him at his word? So the New York Post is a conservative tabloid, and we're finding out more and more that a big part of the Trump mythos is that he has good connections in the tabloid industry.
Right. Exactly.
And that seems to be very similar to the way that the New York Post got the quote for their cover.
Right. Because at the time, this is like in 1990, he was trying to divorce Ivana Trump. And she was, I guess, regularly like just owning him in the tabloid, like in the comms war about their divorce. And so one day, like something came out. He calls the New York Post, like editor of the New York Post, and this is a quote. He says, "Those fucking bitches, I want a front page story tomorrow." This is what they're saying was an actual quote from him. And the editor told him, said, "The only way you're going to get on the front page is if it has to do with sex, money, murder."
And
this
he
is
briefly not the, considered murdering somebody.
Not sex,
Let's
money,
bring
murder.
Bring back the Central Park Five.
Yeah, not the New York Blood Gang, sex, money, murder, but those three topics. So right. Trump said, "Oh, well, you know, Marla says I'm like the best sex she's ever had." And the editor responded, "Well, do you have anyone that can corroborate this?" And he's on the phone. He just is like, apparently this is how the conversation goes. He goes, "Hey, Marla, tell him about how you always say I'm the best at sex."
"Yes, Donald."
"Did you hear that? You see? So she said that, and you should print that." And they did. And and retrospectively, they're like, "Yeah, we always were a little dubious about who may have been actually saying that on the back of the phone."
Right.
But, you know, when he has to change the narrative, he knows how to take his destiny into his own hands and just create realities.
He finds people even dumber than him.
Right.
Right.
Gets them to report trash.
Yeah. Or who are prone to being friendly to people like him. The New York Post is a conservative tabloid. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that seems to be a big part of how the Trump mythos has been created from the start and now, you know, running into his run for the presidency. We're now finding out the New Yorker has just released a report saying that the National Enquirer paid $30,000 to kill a story about Trump having an illegitimate kid. The New Yorker hasn't uncovered anything saying that he did actually have an illegitimate kid, just that the National Enquirer paid $30,000 for that story and then just buried it, never published it. And this is a big deal because it establishes, you know, we've already seen that this company would do this for Trump with other stories of him having affairs. You know, they would do a catch and kill where they pay, you know, $80,000 for a story and then just completely kill it. And this is, by the way, one of the most frugal media companies out there. And they're just paying money just to...
So as in, like, they wouldn't throw money at something if there wasn't a reason to bury it.
Yes.
As in, like, they're getting something more valuable from Donald Trump to keep this out of their magazine.
Right. And this particular story, the $30,000 paid to kill the story about him having an illegitimate child, is significant because it establishes a pattern of buying and burying stories that could be damaging to the president during the campaign, which is against campaign finance.
I mean, if you believe Fire and Fury, Steve Bannon was like, "Hey, Kazowitz was like the fucking fixer, man. Like, what are there, like 100 women?" Right. There's like that quote about there being 100. I mean, I hope that's an exaggeration,
right?
But who knows? I mean, the way this fucking guy moves, I wouldn't put it past him.
It reminds me, like, in the Game of Thrones story where, like, Robert Baratheon has like 20 illegitimate children, and and then all the Lannisters are like just trying to go around and kill all of them.
Right,
of killing the story, they go around and kill actual people that might be this, like, the heir to the throne.
They don't know.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah. So they were just doing that with people who had information.
So I just want to read from the New Yorker article because it's just interesting how this ties into some of the stuff we've been talking about. On a section of our podcast you wouldn't think would be this relevant, but we do a Bloid Watch. Every Friday, and where we look at what's on the front page of the tabloids, because people are looking at that, seeing that every time they go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's wild shit being published on those front pages, and it always seems to be about the Clintons doing bad stuff or Obama, and never about Trump. And that's because almost all of those tabloids are owned by this company, American Media Inc.
They're kind of like the fake news before it went to the internet.
Right,
it was like
exactly.
Just the tabloid news is just whatever, make up shit bad about someone.
Exactly.
To your own purpose.
So two sources from American Media Inc. Said that they think that the catch and kill operations basically cemented a partnership between Pecker, who's the head of AMI, and Trump, and that people close to President Trump had subsequently introduced Pecker to potential sources of funding, and this ties back to that random magazine tabloid about MBS, Mohammed bin Salman.
Bin Salman, crown prince.
Yeah, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. Suddenly there was just in everybody's grocery store aisle a giant tabloid about how rad that dude was.
Right. And he's like, welcome to the kingdom, y'all.
with no ads.
No, just, not an advertisement inside the magazine.
Really?
Yeah, that's rare for any publication.
That should raise a red flag.
Right. But one of the AMI sources told The New Yorker, Pecker's not going to take $30,000 from company funds to shut down a potentially damaging story without making sure it got back to him so he could get credit. And then in 2017, his company began acquiring new publications, including Us Weekly, a men's journal. And this was right around the time that he started becoming friends with MBS and publishing stories like friendly to MBS. So they think that basically MBS helped him fund those purchases of those new magazines.
Oh, wow. And
it's all just a big,
you get more magazines, I get more press coverage.
Yeah. So
damn.
Trump, MBS.
Yo, hey, if Mohammed bin Salman, you know, I'm working on a couple magazines too. It's called Getting High with Fidget Spinners. If you mean, no ads needed. But it's funny. I mean, it's good to have someone like David Pecker. You know, it's like when didn't Nike like scrub every photo of A-Rod's man boobs from his steroid induced like gynecomastia he got?
Oh,
like,
is that right?
You can't find a picture of it on the internet anymore.
Wow.
Like it's very hard to find like photos of a shirtless A-Rod during that time. Because
wow.
Nike was like, no. We do not need this out.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Yeah, we were just talking about MBS is a whole different storyline that we'll get to later on. But he's this dude who was like swept to power in Saudi Arabia and has interesting relationships with the Trump clan and
the Trump criminal empire. Yeah.
Right.
But he did literally say that Kushner was, quote, in his pocket.
So yeah, that's
all. That's all. That's the kind of shit we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that later.
Yeah. So what's going on in the world of baseball, Miles?
I mean, look, I wanted to bring this story up because I'm really excited about Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese baseball player, who is fucking doing great and just really fun to watch because he can pitch, he can hit, he's throwing triple-digit fastballs, and there was an article that just popped up in Wired about how the fastball is probably hit peak velocity and probably has for the last 80 years. Like, no one has actually thrown a ball faster than a certain amount. And so they're saying that a decade ago, major league pitchers threw a grand total of just 196 triple-digit fastballs in a single season. Last year, 40 pitchers collectively threw 1,017 triple-digit fastballs in the season. And so what they're saying is, like, sure, we're seeing more people being able to throw 100-plus mile-an-hour fastballs, but the velocity hasn't changed. It's just the number of people who have gotten to that level has. And because right now, I think the current recorded fastest pitch, I think, is from Aroldis Chapman, which was like 105 back in 2010. But they were saying that, you know, like Nolan Ryan was actually the first pitcher to be tracked by radar. And his, like, fastball, I think the fastest one they got was like 100.8. But back then, they were measuring 100.8 miles per hour.
Yeah, and that ain't shit.
Back then, they were measuring, that was the speed right before it crosses the plate. Whereas, like, Aroldis Chapman's was taken as it was leaving his hand.
Right,
so they
were
saying that if you sort of reverse engineer this, those sort of numbers, that Nolan Ryan might have been throwing fastballs upwards of 108 miles per hour. And they said there are even pitchers from the 50s and 20s that they suspect probably had the same ability. So we're starting to see that our bodies are reaching a certain, I guess, peak level because, and I think the other thing they're doing is connecting this, like, sort of a lot of the strain from fastball pitching to the huge jump in number of Tommy John surgeries people are getting. And if you don't know what Tommy John surgery is, that's when a tendon in your elbow tears and surgeons replace it with, like, a fresh one from your wrist or your forearm or your hamstring, and they do all kinds of shit to reinforce that. But apparently,
so that's not necessarily like making people faster pitchers, but it's just giving them
just the ability
more
to
years.
Yeah, exactly. It's longevity.
Yeah.
And they're saying because like the amount of torque you're putting on your shoulder is like holding 5 12-pound bowling balls, like 60 pounds, like at its most intense moment. And that just, our bodies just, you know.
Not built for it.
Yeah. So you can only throw a 5-ounce sphere about 105 miles.
Yeah.
Which kind of bums me out because I was always hoping, you know, people are running faster, jumping higher.
Yeah.
You'd think that logic would apply to baseball, but it's interesting to see that way. Maybe there is a limit to something like this. Yeah,
I guess that's what's interesting about baseball, or that's something baseball has that the other sports don't. Like, basketball and football have gotten better, faster, stronger, like, more visibly, you know, impressive just in our lifetime. Like, you can see a change from when Jordan was playing versus when LeBron was playing.
Right.
In fact, there's an amazing supercut. Did you see that?
Yes.
Of like Jordan playing against people and just the shitty defense that he faced.
Oh, really?
And they're just like, dude, LeBron would fucking
destroy
these people. Because Jordan's like scoring on like three white dudes who like look like me, like and are just, you know,
basketball players weren't the physical specimens.
But baseball is, you know, and I guess this is why people, you know, legislated the shit out of the whole steroid thing, is because baseball, you can basically watch somebody today and think about how he compares statistically to the people who were playing in the 20s. And, you know, obviously they were working with a more limited talent pool because it was a white-only sport back then, but
they had a bunch of white fatties,
right? But
what position did you play, Jono?
I was outfield.
So did you know a lot of guys who were fucking up their arms from trying to throw the heat?
I mean, I threw out my arms several times, not like in a way of tearing,
right,
ligaments or anything like that. But yeah, it's not a natural motion,
right?
So you're
right.
Definitely putting undue strain on your ligaments,
right? Because I've seen, like, other people, there have been, like, pitching coaches who are trying to do other pitching motions that are less sort of strenuous on your body. But, look, I'm just still holding out for some freak to be able to throw like 120 mile an hour fastball.
Right. That freak is going to be a cyborg.
Yeah, right, right. Exactly. And then we're just playing Base Wars, the old video game. And it's just robots playing, actually, and we're not even dealing with humans.
If you guys don't think there are cyborgs in the MLB already, you're fooling yourself.
Okay, here we go. Who? Mike Stanton?
I can't get
I mean, Giancarlo Stanton?
MLB is always watching. So I want to get into the Simpsons controversy that is mostly over now, but so the Simpsons addressed the complaint that Hari Kondabolu had in the problem with Apu in a way that wasn't great.
Yeah, because the documentary is about sort of the portrayal of Apu and sort of like the larger sort of cultural ramifications of sort of representation like that, right?
Right, and there's moments where different comedians, like I think Aziz Ansari and like a bunch of different comedians, talk about how they were called Apu on the playground growing up. Like, it's Apu was used to tease them. So, like, that's
you're a stereotypical version of your race.
Right, exactly. And so the Simpsons responded to this with this weird, like, Lisa monologue about how, like, we can't judge things from the past against, like, modern standards. And then, like, stared at the camera for a moment. It was very strange and totally insufficient. But something that I didn't realize is that Hank Azaria apparently claims that the script for the first appearance of Apu suggested that he should do, like, a cartoonish accent.
Oh, like the most exaggerated ethnic accent?
Right, right. To, like, take it off of him.
Right.
And so back at Cracked, I interviewed two of the original Simpsons writers about the olden days, and one of their like fun stories about how, you know, things are just found in the room and not the way you planned it was that Mike Reese was the original writer who, Jono, you were saying you heard speak, and
he was the original staff writer of The Simpsons, and he, like, I saw him speak in my freshman year of college about The Simpsons. It was very cool.
Yeah, and he, as his bonus, got 1% of The Simpsons. So he's doing all right.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he said that the first appearance of Apu was in a script that he wrote, and he specifically had the note, do not do an Indian accent for this 7-Eleven guy.
Or Quickie Mart.
Right, Quickie Mart, because
I'm sorry,
that would be hacky and offensive. And sure enough, during the table read, Hank Azaria did the Apu that we know today, and everyone laughed because, you know, that's just a cheap, easy laugh.
Because ignorance. Yeah.
Right. And so I don't know Hank Azaria.
Yeah, it's trying to pass the buck on that one.
It seems like because he is such a talented voice actor, he wanted to showcase his range.
Put a little spin on it. Yeah.
You know?
It's otherwise, like, it's just like a version of Mo he was going to do.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's like if like Jim Carrey got the note, just like, this pet detective you're playing, he's like a very, like, maudlin, classic noir detective who doesn't, he's like very subdued.
Possibly Poirot-like.
Yeah. So she's like, obviously this guy's very serious about the pets. He's not wacky at all.
Right.
Yeah,
he's just like, what?
Well, and it's weird because Simpsons writing was so good for a long time.
I think
this is like such a lame way to address a legitimate grievance people have about the legacy of this character.
Yeah.
Yes. And just be like, oh, political correctness, huh?
Right.
Was essentially how you could distill the response.
It was them shrugging their shoulders like, whatever.
Yeah.
That was their response.
It's like, you're smart enough to have a reasonable answer and maybe make laughs too and not just be like, guys, shut up. You know, sort of.
It's a complaint that, like, Dennis Miller would be on board with.
Oh, yeah.
PC police.
Yeah.
I think the only way that Simpsons can make it up to us now is to end 15 years ago.
Yeah. Get the Bannon time machine and
Exactly.
Go,
all the seasons after 12 are under executive privilege.
Yeah,
right.
And can no longer
be 12 streamed. Is 12 your line?
I would say, like, I mean, I stopped watching or kind of disengaged after like season 11. I want to say
that's when. Yeah, and then I have
after 2000. It's
I have it like in little bits of memories of other episodes, but like I can quote everything I think up to 11. Or like 10.
Yeah, the canon.
Yeah,
Simpsons
exactly.
Seasons.
Yeah. I still ride. I think I go a little later than most people.
Really?
I think like 13, 14, 12 are good seasons.
I mean, it's a slow progress. I mean, like, they don't, like, drop off the cliff immediately, but they just, like, have less and less classic episodes.
Yes. Well, a lot of it also coincides with, like, my drinking and drug use as a kid, too, because, like, on Sundays, I would be home to watch The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And then, like, as seasons 12, 13, I'm out of school, and I'm just doing whatever the fuck I wanted, so I wasn't like, hey, you gotta be home on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And that had a lot to do with it, too.
And I wasn't cool. Good point, Miles. all right. So, and then finally, just
sitting in like your Simpsons jammies in front of the computer, in front of the TV, like, here we go, Sunday.
Hi, Simpsons, my only friends. And then finally, I just want to go out on a study that came out about why we haven't found aliens, why we haven't seen aliens or, you know, made official first contact. And the theory is basically that they might be in a form that we're not expecting, which isn't like that profound of a
That was
idea.
A study to say that?
Yeah. Well, so one thing they did to sort of back up this idea was they had people look at aerial maps to try and like identify these different things on an aerial map. But they also put like actual photographs of gorillas on the aerial map, like kind of small, but, you know, so plainly visible. And because people weren't looking for like a photograph,
it wasn't registering,
like nobody saw the gorillas. And so their idea is like, if the thing you see is not what you're looking for, they call it inattentional blindness.
Right.
And they think that a similar phenomenon might be happening with astronomers and the scientific community on a larger scale. But, you know, we have been talking about the fact that there are all these examples of UFOs that haven't been explained, that, you know, there used to be a part of the Pentagon that was dedicated to kind of investigating them, and that department stopped getting funding, and now they're like their own organization, basically the private X-Files.
Yeah, and led by Tom DeLonge.
Right,
from Blink-182.
Weirdly partially funded by Tom DeLonge from Blink-182.
Wow.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think it could be a combination of things. Like, we have seen these weird things. Like, the thing that the most compelling video that we saw was of a tic-tac-shaped thing just, like, speeding across the horizon.
Right.
And these pilots are like, what the? Like, nothing can move at that speed and the way that that's moving. So, I mean, they saw it. But, I mean, if something is moving in a way that, like, nothing we've ever seen could move, then... Mm. You know, it could be around us, and you know, the rest of us might not see
it.
Right,
it could be the angels in the outfield.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow. Yes, go on.
Yeah, I mean, like, no one could see them except for, like, the people who are, you know, in tuned.
You think that's why the Sixers are doing so well?
Definitely.
They got aliens around them?
Yeah.
That's
and
the
also,
process that we're trusting?
I think they're wearing a cursed pair of sneakers. I think Ben Simmons has.
Oh, like Mike. Yeah,
yeah,
those
exactly.
OG Mike
they just
sneakers.
Also happened to make him 7'1".
Yeah, exactly. A 7'1 point guard. I guess that helps.
But yeah, I mean, the aliens, it's... More than UFOs, I hope that it's just China and Russia are so ahead of us, and how dumb we are.
Or it's Wakanda.
Yeah, or Wakanda. Okay, whoa, Jono. Okay,
hey,
way to get me on board with this theory.
I know.
But either one, I almost prefer that it's that America is so far behind in like technology.
I mean, like the bullet trains that like they have in Asia are vastly superior to our like Amtrak.
Yeah, as you can tell. And I think also it's a function of us not wanting to spend money to like implement this kind of technology.
You know what? It's like I would actually think that like technology would be the way to detect them. Like you're talking like if you're not looking for it, you're not going to be able to see it. I think the most famous example I've heard of that is like when Columbus sailed to America or the West Indies. Like no one on those islands would have even thought to look for something on the horizon. So they didn't even see him coming until he was on their island.
Right.
Right.
And so the like if Americans or whoever humans are looking for aliens using their plain eyeballs and what they assume would be the thing,
you're
not gonna do it. But if you put AI in charge of finding aliens,
Allen Iverson. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. He's gonna cross them over. They'll be so intimidated. They'll go right back to wherever they came from.
They'll go right back to Virginia.
Yeah. So like, it would be something like where you'd have to put a computer program of like any anomaly.
Right.
And the computer would find the little gorilla. Essentially,
right
in the skyline.
Yeah,
are we gonna have to trust Skynet to find
our aliens?
But
that's the thing is, like, if we put the AI in charge of it, like, they'll just team up with the aliens to defeat us, like our two greatest enemies.
Yeah, the AI is like, look, bro, I know what you're up to, aliens, but look, I got a deal for you. Why don't we team up and fuck these idiot humans up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boom. Skynet.
There you go.
Collusion.
Yeah, there it is.
AI alien collusion.
It looks like this study was conducted by every stoned college freshman ever. what if they're like not even people, man?
Dude, you're,
what if
you're
they're
just
like
looking,
a
yeah,
gas, bro?
They're not like humanoids, bro.
Just mm-hmm. waves, man.
Hey,
just...
did you see Arrival? Did you think those aliens looked whack or cool? Mm. You know what I mean? I thought they were cool because it's not like what I thought they would
right.
be.
Right. I did not expect them to be Jodie Foster's
well,
dad.
even like the Planet Earth thing, like they use so many like different drones to film these animals. And like
right.
the animals don't know that we're there.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's interesting because the way they get them used to it is like from birth, the animals
right.
like have this annoying loud like motor next to them.
Right.
Maybe we were all born next to aliens, like, uh-huh. and they just got us accustomed to seeing them. Who
cool.
knows?
Maybe if they throw over 105 miles per hour, that's
right.
how we're able
yeah,
to tell.
Yeah, exactly.
This
yep.
guy's not
is.
Human.
Okay.
Yeah. Tani's definitely an alien, right?
Hey,
we can all agree on that.
I mean, the way the INS looks at him, yes, he is an alien.
That's right. Jono, it has been a pleasure, as always, having you. Where can people find you?
On Twitter, at Jono Zalay. And pretty much at Jono Zalay on every form of social media. If you haven't deleted it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm pretty easy to find in general because of my ridiculous name.
Yes.
Wonderful.
J-O-N-O.
J-O-N-O. And I should have said this up top, but people might have seen you, I guess, earlier this year when you went viral for your driver's license pictures.
The most press I've ever had, which is very much an indictment of my career and society. I have a driver's license running gag with the DMV where I just do characters every time I get a new driver's license. And this time I dyed my hair or bleached it, and then also did the tips bright red and then put them into double mohawk.
Yeah.
So I looked very much like the lead singer of The Prodigy.
Yeah.
And then had like several accessories, like a dog collar with spikes on it and a fake earring and nose rings, the dangly
mm-hmm.
stuff. So yeah, it's online. You can Google DMV driver or driver's license troll, whatever.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
anything like that, you'll find it.
Yeah.
You can see all the silly pictures I've had as a on my government identifications.
Right. I'm sure this is like the question Good Morning America would ask you, but like, have you ever like been pulled over and the cop looks at it and
oh yeah, I mean like anytime. What I've noticed in my this is like a field study of like how people look at IDs.
Right.
Like most people like at a bar when they check my ID, don't even look at my picture.
Yeah.
They look at the date
and
to
like,
see
yeah.
that like yeah you're over 21 or whatever.
Right.
But people that are actually like it's their job to verify that this is you, like TSA. Cops, stuff like that, they will definitely double take.
Right.
They'll just be like,
weird face.
Most of them have like a pretty decent sense of humor about it, actually, but there's the occasional like, let me see a second form of ID scrutiny, like who is this asshole?
Yeah, right. yeah. Especially because right now you got like a pretty like normal look going on. You got
sure.
the mustache rocking and they're like, I'm sorry.
I did have to have like blonde tips for too long that I was comfortable with. So this is actually like dyed back brown.
Oh,
I have natural brown hair, but I had to use like a Just for Men because I just had too many
months of
the hat.
It looks so natural, no one can tell. Just for Men. This show is not brought to you by Just for Men, also. But unless you work for them, you want to. Yes, unless you want to slide us some dollars,
right.
I'm ready.
I'm not Miles. Just a client, I'm an advertiser.
Yes.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me actually on a new episode of the Bechdel cast. Yes, Jamie Loftus and Caitlin Durante's fucking amazing podcast where they talk about movies. I got to sit down with them and we recorded an episode about The Rock. So it's a great episode. You're going to hear, I mean, it's me, Jamie, Caitlin doing what they do, but plus me. You'll love it. So check out the new episode of the Bechdel cast. And if you're looking for me on Twitter and Instagram, well, then that's just at Miles of Gray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the sources of the information in today's episode. Miles.
Yes.
What are we going to ride out on
today? Look, you know, I don't assume that everyone that listens to the Daily Zeitgeist knows about hip-hop and knows about the songs you must know. But if you dig the music, you're going to dig today's suggestion based off the AKA I got today, Runnin' by The Far Side. Now, Far Side is one of the great rap groups from the West Coast. And, you know, they've had some great production over the years. This in particular, you know, a lot of people know them for...
boop, boop, boop. She keeps on passing me. Bye.
But this is more of like a deep cut. This is the Far Side Run-In, produced by J Dilla. And the one of the reasons I also bring this up is because I love sample-based hip-hop, and I love Brazilian music. I like, you know, Bossa Nova and all that. And this is just it also samples a great Stan Getz track from back in the day, which is called Saudade Vem Correndo. And yes, you can critique me on my Portuguese. But yes, we will also link to that track too, because guys, a lot of this music is always, it has its roots back to even greater music. So please enjoy.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Running away, can't keep running away, can't keep. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.